Well, do this for me tonight. I'm not going to be too long because we do have a recap video at the end that's going to show everybody a great deal of what took place while we were at camp this week. But what I want us to start out looking at is that theme verse. Everybody go to Colossians chapter 3. Take your Bibles out. If you don't have one, there should be one right in front of you in the pew. In Colossians chapter 3. When you're there, say amen. Some of you are still turning. I'll wait, because I'm not there yet. While everybody's getting there, I do want to make this statement. I want to say, church, there's a great deal that goes into camp, but I think there's a great deal that we don't see that goes into camp, because I know many of you were prayer warriors that put in hours of prayer both before and during the camp while we were out there. And I know on behalf of the teenagers and myself, I want to say thank you, because I know that the prayers that go up mean something to the Lord as he listens to those prayers in the hearts of the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, just the church body, as they seek the Lord and asking him to do a great work in the hearts and the lives of the young people, as well as the adults that are out there. And I come back with a resounding God answered prayer, because it was an incredible camp, a lot of decisions that were made, definitely one salvation. I know there's some others that we're still, that were allowing God to work on their hearts, that knew that they weren't saved, but are listening and waiting, just to have those answers that they can finally give everything over to the Lord and say, okay, I'm putting my faith and trust in you. But it doesn't come without the prayers and then also the financial support of the church. There's been so much, I know, financial support of people being able to give to the church for the camps to be able to be affordable for so many young people. And so I just say thank you to the church for your support and your faithfulness. But Colossians 3:17 is our theme verse, and I want you to look at it. And notice the key word that's in the middle of the verse that was the theme of our camp. He says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." You know, at camp, we got away from the things that fill our time. As young people, as teenagers, as adults, when we go to camp, we get away from the things that fill our time on a regular basis here back home. We get away from the things like social media, television, friendships that we probably don't need to allow to be part of our time when we're here. And as we got away from those things, our lives are able to be all altered, going to what Brother Steve taught on and the acronym of ALTER. But God's able to alter our lives by his word, by his spirit, and by his servants. He uses the word of God out there as it's taught. He uses the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of each and every person who yield themselves to him. And then he uses the leaders and some of the teens. Because what's so neat at the camps is when you go out there, you see that the only ones that are serving the Lord are not the adults, the teenagers. They're serving each other. They're helping each other in struggles and finding answers in God's word, or leading them to the Lord if they don't already have that relationship. And it's so neat to be able to see that. And you know, we don't see it at home that much, because we have so many things that fill our time when we're at home. And while at camp, there's four things I think that are purposely planned in every day. And the four things that we do at camp that are purposely planned to be there are found in the lives of some of the most powerful examples in the Bible, men and women both who walk with God. And I just want us to look at these four things real quick tonight, because there's four things I know that we do at camp that teenagers, we can continue to do when we get home. Four things that we see at camp when we're out there away from the things of this world for those 4 or 5 days that can come back with us here. What I want you to do is first go to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. What can we learn from these men of God that we're going to look at here tonight real quickly that would cause us to be all in for Christ? Because these men of God were all in. And we see each one of these men in a different area. I think all four of these men had these four areas, but each one, I think you clearly see some testimonies in the Bible. And the first one is Daniel. One of the neat things, and Adam mentioned it this morning in the service, was well before some of the other teens even thought about rolling around in the bed, some of the guys decided to get up and go pray together. And Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel had an all-in prayer life. If we want to live all-in for Christ, we're going to have an all-in prayer life. And what does it look like? I think we can see what an all-in prayer life looks like in the life of Daniel. Daniel had an all-in prayer life, and prayer, and we see in his life, was a priority. Prayer has to be a priority. What's a priority? Usually it's something important to you. Look with me at Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," there was a writing that was done by King Darius that was put in place to cause others to worship the king, to look to him, to honor him, to trust in him and come to him with any of their requests. But in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, notice what it says. He says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God." And what's the last 4 words of that verse, church? "As he did aforetime." Obviously, prayer was a priority to Daniel. It was something he did regularly. It wasn't something that he just sought to do that, all right, King Darius is really putting some stupid things in place. Man, I need to go and we need to pray that this will change. No, apparently he was praying well before that ever took place because prayer was a priority. The Bible records that Daniel didn't just start praying when he heard it. He was praying well before. How's your prayer life? I know teenagers, your prayer life, a lot of you, it got better while you were at camp. How's it going to be this week? How was it Friday when you got home, Saturday, Sunday? If you're going to live all in for Christ, then your prayers need to show up on your priority list. Those mornings that we saw the guys get up, and it wasn't just the guys. One morning, what I like to do early in the morning, I still get up early while we're out there so that I can get away. It gets crazy at camp, and there's not a whole lot of time to yourself. So I get up early, and I go down to where the chapel is, and teens do a pretty good job, but usually they mess up the chairs and they leave trash. So I found it as my time to go down and pray. I'd pray as I walk through the aisles and clean up the trash, straighten up the chairs, and I'd sit in there and then I'd begin to just pray for the teens and pray for the day and pray for the service. And I think it was the first morning, Tuesday morning, and it blessed my heart because I knew the guys were down there praying. That's good. We got a group of guys that are really wanting to seek to be leaders. But then all of a sudden there was a group of girls came into the chapel. I thought, oh, great. Gonna have to tell the girls you can't play carpet ball, you can't hang out in here and chit chat, you're gonna have to go somewhere. But you know, they came in, they circled around, and they said, "Brother Rob, it'd be okay if we pray in here?" I said, "Absolutely." I just sat back and I prayed to myself as I watched them come together and pray. You see, prayer was becoming a priority for a lot of the teenagers while they were at camp. But teenagers, don't let the fact that you're back home mean that your priorities now are gonna get revamped. You see, how's your prayer life? How was your prayer life yesterday? How was your prayer life this morning? Hey, I'll be the first one to admit, I remember a lot of Sunday mornings, it was like, hey, it's Sunday, we're going to be at church. Prayer's kind of, you can throttle back today because we're going to be prayed up at church. No, I don't think Daniel decided that, hey, if there was a prayer meeting going on, I didn't have to pray today. Man, it said that he sought to pray. He prayed 3 times a day, as he had always done, aforetime. You see, prayer is that priority. Just look at Jesus. Look at our Savior. It says this in Mark 1:35. For sake of time, let me just read it. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. And there," what do you think he did? Prayed. He prayed. Now, I don't believe that a person's spiritual, you know, strength is dependent upon what time they get up and go pray. But I do believe what we see here in Scripture is that the first thing Jesus was doing when he got up in the morning was going to pray. David said in Psalm 5:3, he says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning." See, when David was getting up, he started his day with prayer. He said, "O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." It's important that our plan to pray, that priority, shows up on the alarm clock maybe the night before. If we know that I've got something to do and I need to get up and get ready, well, maybe I back it up so I can start my day with prayer. If it's a priority, that's what I'll do. But not only is prayer a priority, we see here with Daniel that prayer had to be a passion. His prayer life was a passion. Now, if it was a priority, it's usually because it was first a passion. Look at verse 10 again. Here he knew that by praying, he was going to be brought to a point to where he was going to be put to death. And in Daniel's case, for sake of time, those of you that don't know the story, he's ultimately thrown into a den of lions. But here Daniel, even though he knows what was signed, it says he went into his house and his windows being open and his chamber toward Jerusalem. He wasn't going to allow what the world was saying to stop what he knew was right and to seek the Lord in prayer. He didn't try to close the windows and make it private. He continued just to open and look toward Jerusalem and pray. For the Jews, this was important. And Daniel wasn't going to allow the world to change it. Why? Because he was passionate. If you're passionate about prayer, then you will desire to pray wherever and whenever you can. Prayer won't just be a, you know, at the table type thing at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And honestly, what we see with the Apostle Paul, I think we can realize now what he meant when he said he would, a lot of the churches he said, and we prayed always. We pray without ceasing. Now, I don't think it meant that he lived his entire life and did nothing other than pray. So got in a closet, got on his knees, and just prayed. No, but that does go to show that everything that we can do can be including prayer. As we fellowship, as we spend time studying, as we do our jobs and our, you know, as a parent, as a laborer at an office, whatever the case is, we can always be in constant communication with the Lord and talking to him in our daily thought life. Praying always. Because if it's a passion, it'll show up there. And anytime that we have somebody we're passionate about, we want to talk to, we find ways to talk to them, right? Text, Twitter, phone, whatever. But man, with God, we don't have to go and we don't have to have a data plan. We don't have to have enough minutes on our phone. We don't have to have any of that. He went ahead and paid for it all. It's good. It's open. We can go to him anytime. We have to be passionate about that prayer life. People who are passionate about prayer aren't going to be worried about what they sound like, but instead they're going to talk to God with an open, honest heart. I think one of the mornings, Brother Neil brought a message, and he used the example about the two guys that came to pray, and the one was a Pharisee. And he prayed real loud and boisterous. In fact, we're going to leave Daniel here. You can flip over to Luke real quick. Luke chapter 18. And look at the heart of these two that were praying. Luke 18, verse 9. So in verse 10, it says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, he wasn't worried about how his prayer sounded. He wasn't worried about who was around. He was only seeking to talk to God with an attitude of total and complete humility. That's what our prayer life ought to be. We ought to have a prayer life that's a priority, and we ought to be passionate about our prayer life. If we're having a passionate prayer life, it's going to show up on our priority list, and guess what? It's going to show others that we are all in for Christ as we seek him. The second person I want us to see real quick tonight is Joshua. You see, Daniel had an all-in prayer life. Joshua had an all-in servant's heart. Go over to the book of Joshua. And while you're going to actually grab Joshua chapter 24 and then keep going past that and grab Exodus 24. What's cool is Joshua was probably a younger guy, teenager possibly, as he was beside Moses. And look at Exodus 24. Just as Daniel's prayer life was a priority, Joshua's heart to serve the Lord was a priority. You see, Joshua had the servant's heart, and serving was a priority. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, and Moses rose up, and his minister who? Joshua. So here was Joshua beside Moses. And as Joshua was there with Moses, it says in Numbers 11:28, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, It recognizes Joshua, Numbers 11, 28, as a young man. You see, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can have a desire to serve and it be a priority in your life. We get to see it at camp. One of the things that was really neat to watch was the very last night of dinner, I had the senior guys that just graduated come and say, hey, would it be okay if we stood where the adults usually stand and serve everybody dinner? They wanted to serve. It was in their heart to serve. It's becoming a priority in their life. Any of you that have been around church for too long, you've recognized when you walk through the children's building on a Sunday morning, you walk through Bethlehem during December, or you come to VBS, and you'll find that majority of the workers serving are teenagers. Now, granted, some of it do it, and it's a fun time. Some of the leaders that come to camp come because we have a good time. But the bottom line is we're wanting to serve. We want to see an impact made. And the teenagers are the same. They serve in many areas, whether it be from the nursery on up, willing to give of themselves because they're realizing that serving is a priority. And Joshua was no different. It was a priority. And because of Joshua's priority and serving, this is really neat if you look at what happens here. You're in Exodus 24. Flip over to Exodus 32. Because Joshua was serving with Moses, and his desire was to be right there and serve alongside Moses, and whatever Moses' needs were, Joshua was ready to be a minister. And look at Exodus 32, verse 17. Now, Moses is speaking with the Lord. And in verse 32, or chapter 32, verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Joshua was away with Moses while the people were surrounding the camp and not being patient, waiting on Moses. And so we see Joshua is able to miss out on being a part. Look at verse 22. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know who wasn't there when Aaron was having to plead that the anger of Moses wouldn't wax hot? Joshua. Because he was faithfully serving with Moses. He wasn't amongst the camp. And so serving many times, teenagers, the more involved you get at serving church, the teenagers that we have that come up here and volunteer during the week, guess what? That's an extra hour, 2 hours, however many hours of the week, keeping them away from the chance of getting into trouble somewhere else. Because they have a desire to serve. They have a priority. And that priority is led by a passion. Serving has to be a passion. It has to be a priority, it has to be a passion. Real quick there in Joshua 24, we see that it was Joshua's passion. Look with me at Joshua 24, verse 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers, or which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or of the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was passionate about serving. It was a priority. Because of his passion, it was a priority. And while we're at camp, we have the opportunity to serve because a lot of those things that get in the way while we're back home aren't there. So we see with Daniel that prayer is going to lead us to be all in. We have to have an all in prayer life. We have to have an all in servant's heart. Seek to serve. The third thing, real quickly, we see with David. He had an all-in desire for the word of God. Now, over in Psalm 119, some scholars believe that David wrote the psalm. It's not any proof, but if it wasn't David, I'll say the man that wrote it had an all-in life for the word of God. Look with me at Psalm 119. For sake of time, we won't read all 100 and some odd verses. But I do want you to see the very first few. In Psalm 119, verse 1, he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Every single verse in this psalm references the word of God. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Look down at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, it was a desire, and it was a desire for the word of God that made it a priority, that it was important. You see, teenagers, we're in the word of God. We're purposely instituting time of prayer at camp. We're purposely instituting times and opportunities for you to serve at camp. We're purposely instituting the word of God to be involved at camp. Because as you remove all of these things from the world when you're back here, right? We go to camp and we get away from all the things that are here. Then what do we have to do? We got to put things back in. Good to see you, Orno. Everybody was looking that way, so I'll just wait. Now, but focus, because here's what happens. When we go to camp, we take away the things of the world and we fill it back with what you need more of. Church, take the same principle. A lot of times, why do we leave Sunday morning feeling great? Because we got away from our life for a little while and we got everything we needed while we were at church. Prayer, serving, word. But then we leave church and by Monday, Tuesday, we start feeling bad again. Why? Because when we got away from church, well, then we pulled those things back out, and guess what? The world fell back in. And the things of the world. We've got to make these a priority. And they have to remain a passion. The more that we put ourselves around the word, around prayer, and around serving, the more passionate we become. And then finally, the last one. The last thing that we build into the camps and make it a priority. And really, I believe that you'll see in the video, there's some passion that goes on in our worship. Because we're not just repeating the words on a screen. The teens, and I know the leaders, are genuinely singing to the Lord and wanting to worship him for who he is and what he's done. And we see the importance of worship and how it became a priority in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men in the book of Daniel worship God. And they were given an opportunity to worship Nebuchadnezzar, and they would not do it. And real quick, the last place we're going to turn is go back over to Daniel chapter 3. I want you to see these three. Because remember, in my prayer life, it needs to be a priority, and I need to be passionate. In my service to the Lord, it needs to be a priority, and I need to be passionate. And in my devotion to his word, it needs to be a priority, and I need to be passionate. And then finally, here in my worship, it needs to be a priority. And guess what? I need to be passionate. I need to be passionate about it. These men were passionate about it. In the book of Daniel here, we see these guys were faced with a trial, much like Daniel. They were told to stop worshiping God. And they were told to stop worshiping God because some other people took notice that they were doing it regularly because it was a priority. Look with me at verse 12. These men that were seeking to set up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were trying to accuse them of something and get them to be thrown into the fiery furnace, or at least to be killed some way. They didn't know how the king was planning to do it. And they came up with a fiery furnace, and the king said, I'll put my stamp on it. And he said, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden image, they would not worship it. They would not do it, and I love their response. And we see the priority and the passion revealed in verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, and what's the last part of the verse say? Let's read it together, church. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Basically, they're saying, hey, we don't have to think twice about this, king. We're not worshiping that statue of you. We're only worshiping our living God. They were passionate. and worship was a priority. And we see all these, if you really count it, I mean, it's what, four or five, six individuals that stood out and made a huge impact. Because if we went on and just read about the lives of the people that were impacted, even King Nebuchadnezzar was impacted. Because when he saw that these men would not burn in the fiery furnace, in fact, there seemed to be a fourth man in the likeness of the Son of God, he says. In verse 28, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." You know why Nebuchadnezzar was able to turn around and say, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego"? Because they were not willing to worship anything else, because their priority was to worship God first, and they were passionate about it. So passionate they were willing to be thrown into a fiery furnace, if that's what it meant. Because they weren't going to worship anything else other than their God. And their decision to be that passionate led to God being glorified and recognized by the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They were passionate about worship. How's your worship? When you come to church, are you passionate about the worship, or are you just coming to go through the motions, waiting to get through the service and check it off as something that you did for the day? Real quick, I want to end with this illustration. I did an illustration at camp for the teens. I've done this illustration before, it was several years ago, and then it dawned on me that some of the people I talked to said I'd never seen it before. So I wanted to do this. If this represents our life, Frank, come here. I'm going to put my life in your hands. Hold that.
Yay. You trust me.
Didn't say that. just kidding. Just kidding. If that jar represents, go ahead and take the lid off for me. If that jar represents my life, these golf balls represent the four things I just gave to you: prayer, worship, service, and the Bible. Now, if that represents my life and I try to put those into my life, look, they're not going to fit. Why? Because I've got too much going on, or my priorities are out of whack. But if I start with those four things in my life, and then I allow the rest of my life to be a part of those four things, what's cool is now it all fits. You say, "Oh, no, it doesn't." Well, you just gotta wait a second. It all fits. But now those four things that needed to be a priority, if I'm passionate about them, they go in my life first. And guess what? Now everything can be affected by those four things in my life. Before, they couldn't be, because they wouldn't fit. Thank you, Frank. You have a seat. But, just put it there. So, thank you. But what I want you to see, seriously, listen. Your passion reveals your priorities. What you're most passionate about is seen in your priorities. Teenagers, what would people say about you? What are you most passionate about? Because it's revealed in your priorities. What's your priorities? Is it your Facebook account, your Instagram account, your friendships? You know, I mean, I could go on down. Your car, your job, school, sports, you fill it in. People know what you're passionate about by what your priorities are. Your priorities reflect your passion. If you're going to be passionate about the Lord, then guess what? It's going to be reflected in your passion for prayer, for the Bible, for worship, for service. Those are the things that we see that God desires of us. So tonight, maybe you need to make some decisions. At camp, we saw a lot of decisions made. And maybe you're here tonight as a parent or just part of the church, came to see the recap. My question to you is, what's your passion? What do people notice as your priorities? What's being revealed? Are you all in for Christ? See, the cool thing is, Christ is already all in us. He didn't give us a little bit to see how we'd react before he'd give us the rest. He gave us all. And now it's up to us to give our all unto him for his honor and for his glory. But it's revealed in our passions and our priorities.